just wanted to read one verse to you, and I promise I won't be long. Just to bring these thoughts together tonight, thank my mom for speaking to us, as she does. Makes it some place where we can lay hold of it, you know, it's right there. It's right down to earth, where we live. But this thought of this world not being our home and setting our affection on things above, not on things of earth, seeking first the kingdom of God. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have what we call heroes of faith. Yes, being a Christian is heroic. We have this chapter that catalogs the lives and deeds of people who lived and died in faith. Men and women of God who put their trust in God, followed Him with all their heart. It's a wonderful inspiration to us to read their stories. Talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, of Enoch and Noah, and all those who were great patriarchs. Talks about Sarah. But it says this: these all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now here we have one of those verses that I put in your book. What does a pilgrim say? What does a pilgrim declare? Well, this is what he declares. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I just like that we as pilgrims, we say something. Our lives declare something. We confess by the way we live that this world is not our home. And I trust we've gotten that sight. You see, it's not so much what we say. Yes, they confess, but they confess by the way they lived. You know, we can say a lot of things. And as Christians, maybe the biggest turnoff for non-Christians or those who don't believe is they say we're hypocrites. And what does that mean? We don't live the way we talk, right? We don't do what we say. We're not the real thing. And so it's not enough to say this world is not my home. You have to live that way. Your values have to reflect that statement of faith. And Mom talked about our values tonight. Where we place priority. What do we desire? What do we seek most? What do you seek most? And here Abraham and these great patriarchs, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Confessing, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're not here just for this life. We're not just living just for this world. We're not living for those 70 or 80 or whatever time we're allotted here on earth. It's not just about being here. You know, the Bible says the things that are seen are what? Temporal. They're temporary. They pass away. But the things that are not seen are eternal. They never pass away. And what God is wanting to do in your lives here at camp, what God is wanting to do in the lives of the villagers and the cottagers and those who come on these grounds, He's working for eternity, beloved. And He's more interested in your eternal health and your eternal well-being than your temporal health and your temporal well-being. And that's why God doesn't just give us what we want. It's like sometimes we treat God as if he's the soda machine. Mm-hmm. You know, you put the money in, you hit the button, you get out what you want. But that's not the way it works. God wants your heart. God wants that part of you that will last for eternity, that eternal soul that he created you to be. Have you given him your heart? Have you found that there is purpose in life beyond the things that I have? A man's life does not consist in the things that he possesses. You know, we think that. If I have just enough things to keep me comfortable and if I just get what I need, then life is going to be great. Well, that ends up being empty and vain. And so these pilgrims declared that this world was not their home and that they were seeking a better country. They are longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared a city for them. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's something beyond this life?
Yes.
Do you believe it? Really?
Yes.
Well, that changes then the perspective. It changes the way we look at things. Because there's an eternity before us. And God has prepared a place for us. We're going to God as pilgrims. What was? How did we define? My mom had a definition for pilgrims. What did I say? A spiritual pilgrim. We go every day. We ought to be going to God, right? We go to God, our exceeding joy. We ought to seek for him. And in that journey of life, as we're seeking him, you know, we're going to end up where we want to be. And that's with him forever in heaven. But here's just a little story, a story that I've probably told before. But my wife's not here, so she won't chide me afterwards. You're going to tell her? You know, my kids tell on you, Mom. Oh, yeah. You know what Grandma said to Grandpa? That word we're not allowed to say, Daddy. That S word. You missed it. All right, come on, let's. Now try to relate this story to what I just said and what Mom told us tonight, right? Just think about this now, right? Perspective. They desire a better country. And you can have things, and yet you can have things in this world, and yet you can still have the right perspective. It's entitled Headhunter. An executive hirer, that's kind of, we all got that? An executive hirer, that means someone who looks for, you know, someone to fill an important position in the company. You know, maybe the vice president of the company, or the president, the CEO, the CFO. And so to fill positions like that are often difficult, so people hire someone. They call headhunters, they call you up on the phone and they say, oh, you know, I have a job opening. Do you think you might know someone who had these qualifications? And then they give you the list. And really, they're asking you if you want the job. Huh. But they're not saying it just that way. And so an executive hirer, a headhunter, who goes out and hires corporate executives for other firms, once told me, when I get an executive that I'm trying to hire for someone else, I like to disarm him. I offer him a drink, take my coat off, then my vest, undo my tie, throw up my feet and talk about baseball, football, family, whatever, until he's all relaxed. Then when I think I've got him relaxed, I lean over, look him square in the eye and say, what's your purpose in life? It's amazing how top executives fall apart at that question. What's your purpose in life? Well, I was interviewing this fellow the other day, had him all disarmed with my feet up on his desk, talking about football. Then I leaned up and said, "What's your purpose in life, Bob?" And he said, without blinking an eye, "To go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can." For the first time in my career, I was speechless. What's your purpose in life? To go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can. They desire a better country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so tonight we've been reminded of the importance of setting our affections, setting our minds on things above. Let's not get caught up in all that this world has to offer. Let's not get bound to this earth, as it were. But let's have our eyes fixed on the goal. Let's run the race that's been marked out before us. Let's have eternity in view. How many of you want to go to heaven? You wonder why not everyone wants to go to heaven. Well, if you really want to go to heaven, then you need to prepare for that journey. We're all on a journey, as we heard. But not all roads lead to heaven. And so by God's grace, may we just ask him to, this night, maybe straighten out things in our hearts, straighten out those priorities, cause our eyes to be fixed on the goal and not distracted and the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. So let's just bow our heads right now. Hallelujah. Now we all sang it. This world is not my home. Though many would my progress stay and bid me not to watch and pray, I dare not listen to their cry. I seek a glorious home on high. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us understand what it means to be a pilgrim. Lord, we too want to confess that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Lord, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So I pray that you'd give each one of us an eternal perspective, that each day as we make choices, as we face decisions, that we would always keep eternity in view. Pray, Lord, that our hearts would not be weighted down, as it were, with the things of this life, that we fail to see what you have prepared for us. We thank you, Lord, that you encourage us along this journey, and day by day we can walk with you and seek your face and progress, as it were, closer to our God. And I pray, Lord, that this would not be just something we do here at camp or a resolution, as it were, that passes from us in a short time. But may we all, by your grace, resolve to follow you all the days of our lives. Because afterwards, Lord, you will receive us in glory. And Lord, as we travel along life's road, I pray that we will remember that there are others that you would like us to bring, others that we can point to you. And so, Lord, make us faithful. And seeking out the ones that you place upon our hearts, those that you put in our paths, in our lives. Lord, make us faithful witnesses. Thank you for reminding us of these things this night. Help them to be written upon our hearts. I ask these things in your precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.